Good afternoon, folks. Can you believe it's July already? Where has this year gone by to? I think I just took down Christmas decorations not that long ago, and pretty soon we're going to be pulling out those boxes and putting them up again. We're over midway through half of the year. Anyway, time does seem to be speeding up. For those of you who wish to call in today for either an Akashic reading from the cherubim, or you have other questions, such as perhaps wanting to make contact with your angels, with your guides, someone else perhaps we can reach. The number here in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, 888-810-8322. I've had some email from some listeners who wanted to know if we had a place where we could discuss some of the items that I have brought up in some of my shows. And apparently we have somebody who's calling in right now.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon,
Carolyn.
This is Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, I've called in a couple times before. This is my question. It's a kind of a generic question, and you brought it up last week at the end, and I didn't get a chance to call back and talk to Shirlene this week, but how do I get out of a cosmic contract, of an Akashic kind of contract? Is there a ceremony, or is, I mean, I want to respect that the fact that, yeah, this was what you read last week was correct. Okay, I already knew that intuitively. But now I need to kind of break the bonds and move on because it's impossible. Okay, it's impossible for me to fulfill the contract.
Do me a little favor and kind of refresh my memory, because I was going to ask you about this contract. What contract? Was this something that I had read from you from a reading?
Yeah, briefly on the phone last week, at the end of the show last week. It was from my husband and myself.
Between the two of you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What we'd really come here to do. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so you've decided that, that's not my piece of cake anymore.
It's impossible, right. It's impossible now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's impossible now. So I need to kind of, while honoring the intent of it and honoring the, you know, the situation and everybody involved, I still just need to basically break it. I need to walk away from it with as little pain as possible.
How about if, first of all, I give you a little example of something that happened in my life, because in a sense that's what happened to me. I was married and felt like I wanted to break my contract, so I didn't think of it in terms of a spiritual contract. I thought of it first at that time in terms of a legal contract because we were married.
Mm-hmm.
And I went that route first, worked on dissolving the legality of the contract, and then after the legality had been severed, I then had to do a lot of work in, there's a couple of things you have to break, yes. There's the contract that one made before they came into this lifetime, absolutely true.
And that's the one I want to work on.
But now there's another aspect of that also, Kim. You did say it was Kim, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. There's another aspect of that, too. When you're married, you've been in company, close contact with individuals, and so there are other ways that you're connected energetically. So you have a spiritual contract, you have a legal contract, and then there are connections between the two individuals that are energetic connections. And, of course, there is soul history.
Yeah.
Have you done any of these? Have you done any of – you've made a decision. Have you pursued any avenue whatsoever?
Well, I'm working on it. And I wanted help with the energetic and spiritual with you. And it's physically impossible, okay? And what you told me last week was absolutely true, that my husband and I came together to parent several children. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm 46 this year. My husband has a myriad of health problems. He's, you know, he's not well, and he's got other issues as well that really prevent him from being a good parent right now. Really
mm-hmm.
serious issues that aren't going to go away. Okay? And I've lived with this for 18 years, and it's time for me to let go of it.
You know, I can identify with what you're saying. I've had similarities in my own life, not exactly, you know, the way you're talking about what's happening in yours. Well, first of all, the severing the energetic connections, there's two ways that you can do that. You could have an energy worker such as Charlene or Caroline sever the connection, or if you have awakened enough that you can perceive these connections, you can sever them yourself. So since Charlene or Caroline is not here right now, Charlene will be with us Wednesday at Cosmic Connections. You can call back then.
Okay.
But let's work with you for a second. I want you to, if you would, now this is with your mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
See yourself standing before you, and if you might, see your husband standing before you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you see anything that is going between you and he that looks like it would almost look like a thread?
Yeah,
you might
cord.
See several of them, or a cord, yes.
Yeah.
And they have a white... It would be a whitish gray, not gray so much, more white. It's not like a brilliant white, but are you seeing those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you seeing several of them, one, or how many? Are you seeing a group of them? You might be seeing these different parts of the body. You might be seeing them just in the heart center.
Yeah.
Are you seeing... More than one?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, as you know, a lot of what is in our future and in present and even in the past has to do with intent.
Right.
And so go into a quiet mode, almost meditative, if you can, and say to yourself that you have intent to break these connections, to pull back your own energy, and give your spouse back his energy. So take a moment and, like, kind of quiet the mind, and just quietly tell yourself what your intent is, how you're going to pull back your own energy, and how you return his energy to him. Now, are you able to look at these lines again? Do you see them? Are they severed? Are they still connected? Are some of them severed?
I'd say some of them are severed.
So some of them are not.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do it again and again and again.
And you may have to.
Yeah.
Now, what you can do is work on this from
yes.
now to Wednesday.
Okay, and I will. I'll continue, Carolyn. So the question
and
then...
And call in, and if you aren't able to sever all of them yourself, then call us when Charlene is on the line.
Okay. And then, so the question is, if, you know, you went right there, you went to the Akasha, and you found out, okay, this is what's supposed to happen, this is why you're together, this is why, and it's physically totally impossible now. I mean, I believe in miracles, but unfortunately not in this situation with this person. And,
Well, before you get on to your next question, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What you heard, did that resonate with you?
Oh, yeah,
you
it's real. No, what you said is absolutely true, and that's how I've lived my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't live it that way anymore.
Right.
that there have been boundaries.
Because it's always good, you know, no matter what a person hears, it's always good to check with yourself.
Exactly. Well, no, Carolyn, yes, you were right on. I knew exactly what you were going to say. You said it. It was very validating for me, and that should, in turn should be validating for you. But I've come too far. We've traveled too far off of this path that there's not a way back. You know, I would
Here's another thing too. You're getting to the point in your life where you have your own spiritual mission that you have to fulfill.
Okay, well, that would be great. Could you go to the Akasha and ask what my own spiritual mission is?
Before we get to that, I interrupted you with something that you were going to. Why don't you finish that thought first?
Well, I think actually that's what I was going to ultimately ask you. I was going to say that yes, okay? I mean, you're very gifted because you went in and you told me exactly what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known this for 18 years, ever since I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too late. And there have been, there's too much under the bridge now, and it's too, and while I do believe in miracles, I don't believe them at this time with that person. I just think it's,
well,
you know, it's
there,
too late.
When two people plan on something, there has to be cooperation between the two when they're here. And from what you're saying, perhaps you're not feeling that cooperation. In other words, the two people have to look in the same direction. They have to have the same desires and be willing to help one another fulfill what their plan was. And because somebody plans something doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come to fruition if they're not going to work at it.
Right.
And this is why people come together and they leave. And you're at an age where you're going to start to review and start to feel the urge perhaps from your own soul to fulfill your mission.
Yeah, I agree
with you. And we'll see if we can find something there as to what your soul planned. You see, Kim, I believe there's like three stages in a person's life. The first stage, you've come into the body and you have to get accustomed to, you know, using the body and cooperating with one another, getting what you want, educating yourself, and then there's like a midterm goal where you're fulfilling the certain things that you have come to fulfill. And then the third part of your life, I do believe, is the time when you're fulfilling your own spiritual aspirations. And that's why I said, you're giving me your age, and it is sounding to me like this is where the urge is coming from. There's a part of you that knows, well, this is what I'm hearing as we're having this conversation, that there's a part of you that feels perhaps or intuits that there is something more that you came to do.
Right.
And this part that you discussed is not working out, and you kind of want to move on now to that other part.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you, Carolyn. And I think there is a little bit of element to a certain degree in which I'm really trying, you know, it's just there. It's human, I think, to kind of feel a little bit of failure. It's like, okay, well, I know clearly what we're supposed to do. I know we didn't do it. I know we can't do it. I know, you know, I mean, he's made it very clear verbally he doesn't want to do it. And what you said was we were here to parent very special children. And, you know, he doesn't want to have any more kids. He doesn't want to foster. He doesn't want to adopt. He doesn't want to, I mean, I understand. I get it clearly, you know. And on top of that, his behavior has been suspect with my son, which means I can't leave him alone with my son. You know, so it's very complicating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's serious. And, you know, if you brought a child into this world, it's really your responsibility to protect them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I understand your situation. Okay, let's take a moment and see what we can find out about your own particular mission and what words we might find. So give me a moment.
Okay.
And let's see what we can find out. Kim, there are three cherubim standing there. there's like one in the forefront and two behind them, which is kind of interesting because usually there's just one that comes forward, but there's three there. And the one in the front is holding your records. They show it to us as a book, though in actuality it's not a real book in the sense that you put a book on the library shelf, but they show us that so our human mind can understand it. And they have opened the book, and this cherubim in the front is pushing the record over to me so that I can peer into this myself. And the book is opened. I'm not seeing the cover right now, but what is coming out of this record, Kim, is an enormous amount of white light. There is so much white light pouring out of the page that I literally can't see what is written in the page. And so that was the first thing that they wanted me to see, that this record has an incredible amount of white light in it, that you have worked very closely with those elements of source that they're saying is the universal laws. Source is universal laws, that you have worked with these diligently in the past, and that this is the reason for the white light that is pouring out of your book. And what they're doing now is they're parting the waves of this white light so I can see beyond it. Though the white light does not want to be stopped, so they're not exactly stopping it. They're sort of parting the waves. It's almost like an ocean of white light that they are now dividing so that I can get down to the record itself and see what is beyond it. And they are showing me a representation of your soul. And they're showing me this in the form of a female, like your higher mind, that higher essence of who you are. And she is dressed in this white robe, flowing hair, very beautiful, a representation of what is in your record and has been in your record, one of great service. And it is the higher mind, your higher mind now, that is encouraging you to pick up the reins, so to speak, of what this higher part of yourself is calling you to do, is intending for you to do. And so they are showing me a picture of your soul standing there almost like a guardian. And there is this one child in front of you. There is and that child would be your child. Mm-hmm. And that is sort of like completely in form. There was another child to be standing there, and that is like in the shape of a mist. That hasn't materialized and perhaps might not materialize, but it's showing me what was the intention there. And there is this I'm trying to see how I can explain this connection. Maybe that's the best way to say it. This very strong connection between you and your child. This is more than a parent-child relationship, though that is there. There is also this relationship of the master and the guardian In other words, they're depicting you as the master acting as guardian to this child. This child has certain needs because it has come from a very high place to be here in this earth right now. And you are like the buffer. You will be like a buffer between this child and the world because the child has come from such a high place that things that are in this world would be disturbing to this child in the sense of balance. It's like they hear differently, they see differently, they feel differently.
Yeah.
They react to stimuli in a different manner. You said yes, like that's making sense
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, that's all true, yeah.
Yeah, and so it is like a clash between two worlds in the sense that this child is from a higher world come down to this world where everything is denser, the particles are denser. So everything about this world seems strange, and you as the guardian are the one designated to help make sense of it all to this child, because this child is like in an incubation stage right now, incubating, acclimating itself to this world and being able to integrate what is going to come through this child from the higher dimension. And so this is what your soul is calling you to do, to protect, to balance, to be like an anchor. You are a master at this. You have worked with this child in other dimensions, and you came first to acclimate yourself to living here. You might have even felt some strangeness in the early years until you became more integrated.
Yeah.
So you felt some strangeness in the early years?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because it was like almost a fish being out of water.
Yeah.
And it is because you also have come from the higher dimensions, and you came here as a parent and a child because someone had to come here first to acclimate themselves to this world, and that was you. And now that was the reason for feeling the way you did in the early years. You had an awful lot to acclimate to yourself and perhaps didn't understand an awful lot as to why people behave the way they do, because that wasn't the way you were would have handled things.
Right.
Your people wouldn't have handled things that way.
Gotcha.
They would have handled things out of love.
Yeah.
And so that, my dear, is what they are telling you, that your soul is trying to influence you to let you know what you have chosen to do. And what they are recommending is you make an effort to make contact with your higher mind, that higher part of yourself, that gateway to your soul monad, so that you understand more of what you need to do, but also that there would be comfort for you there. That this world is a difficult place for you to find comfort in.
Yeah.
But your soul can give you
that
comfort.
Yeah, all that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
You're right on, Carolyn. So, if a soul can't complete its contracts, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Do you feel, part of me feels a little bad. I feel guilty. I feel like a failure. I feel, but then the other part of me feels like, well, I still have to move on and do what I really have to do.
And that's exactly what it is. You see, it's the ego part of a human being that is going through those emotions of the sorrow, of feeling guilty, of feeling like a failure, because that's what the world has taught us to do. They have taught us to think in terms of what you accomplish is what determines your success or failure. In other words, you've got an, if you go out and get a job and you accumulate a lot of money, that means you're a success.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the ego part that is telling you these things. And this other part that you are feeling that it doesn't matter is the spiritual side of you telling you that it doesn't matter because it doesn't. On this plane, on this level, what counts is intent. And as long as a person has come with the intent of doing certain things, like following their mission and doing what is right, they're fulfilling what they needed to fulfill, as long as they have the intent and they stay with that intent. So don't worry about those things. And when you call Wednesday, you can ask Charlene to work with God and remove those feelings of guilt and replace them with positive thoughts, because that is what is in your cells.
Right. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
My pleasure, Kim.
Yeah, you were right on. I knew a lot of what you said already intuitively. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. And so we are always glad to help people who call in and have a question. I was mentioning to you earlier that there are individuals who have asked me if there is a place where they can discuss some of the things that we talk about on the show. And I would like to mention that there is a place where you can ask questions, and we can answer them. We could have people follow the string and bring forth other information, and that's Ask the Expert. It's you'd be able to send me questions that perhaps others might read and find answers that they want to give. Also, I have a blog, and that is at http://carolynevers.wordpress.com. And we have another question today.
Well,
and
Carolyn,
your name?
I'm Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
I'm doing it the best way I know how, Brian.
I had a question for you.
Of course.
I would like to know what my relationship is, Brian, with, in the past or the future, with the Melchizedek sons of God.
I didn't hear you. With what?
What is my relationship with the Melchizedeks? Melchizedek,
okay.
With them, in the past,
okay,
or the future. What is my relationship?
I can ask, but now tell me, why are you questioning this?
I'm questioning it because I feel I have a connection with them,
mm-hmm,
and I on a spiritual level,
mm-hmm,
and I would like to know more about this.
Okay. Have you tried to do a little bit of research about Melchizedek?
Yes, I have. I found a lot of information in the Urantia book.
What about that kind of rang a bell with you?
They are very active in the universe and on a higher level, higher dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt kind of like my light resonates with them in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm,
my light is kind of the golden color. And yellow,
mm-hmm,
my aura.
And you see their light as being golden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, what is the connection? I've been feeling their presence in the past or future, and I just would like to know, to expand on that.
Well, I'll see what we can find out for you. But tell me, Brian, have you tried to connect with him?
Yes, in the past I have, and they've kind of told me that I don't have to die to connect with them. I don't have to be deceased.
Well, that's good news, isn't it?
That's the good news. And I had that vision in my dream of them, white robes, beautiful, with golden auras, but I just wanted to know more about them, how my connection with them.
Okay, let's see what we can find out. Well, surprisingly, the cherubim are not stepping forward. Does that surprise you?
Michael's coming. Is Michael coming forward?
No. Mikhail is not coming forward on this.
Oh, wow. Am I in trouble?
No. You were born in trouble. Are you in trouble? No, the one that I am seeing come forth and speaking right now is Melchizedek himself.
Manvana Melchizedek?
What?
Manvana?
He's just identifying himself as Melchizedek.
Okay. The father of all, Melchizedek?
Well, he's showing himself to me as one sitting on a throne. And it's a very large throne, actually. And there's a lot of light around him, around his head in particular.
Yes.
And he is showing me the element of a lot of clouds underneath of the throne. He's not showing me as being part of this earth.
Okay.
He's showing me as being an element in a much higher dimension.
Yes.
And he is showing me a very large and ornate ring on his left hand. It's a golden ring with a very large ruby in it.
Wow.
He is saying that that it is when one kisses this ring, it is a commitment or an allegiance to his office. And he is showing me a picture of you, Brian, kneeling before him, and you are holding his hand in your hand, and you are kissing his ring.
So I am working in service with them then.
Mm-hmm. The office of allegiance.
That's interesting. I was wondering about that.
What were you wondering?
The thing I was wondering about is also the name of my soul. You know, we have our names here on physical 3D life, but I would like to know, when my soul came forth, what was the name given to me?
You mean when Source created your soul?
Yeah, a name that never changes.
Mm-hmm.
The name, is it a name that can be kind of interpreted into a human form? Or is it just a name that only God knows? And I was wondering if a human can understand or know the name of their soul.
I know a lot of people mention what their soul's name is. I don't know about that. Let me see what we can find out.
Okay.
Before we get into that, I would like to mention to you what Melchizedek suggested, and that is when you go to sleep at night,
yes,
asked to be taken to his ashram,
his
where he
room?
Resides,
oh,
that you can go there, and he will impart information to you.
Okay.
That is possible.
So
and,
all I have, yes.
And he is saying desirable.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see about the name. Now, there's one cherubim that has come forward, and I give a lot of information to individuals when they ask for a reading with the cherubim, and we talk about how the Book of Life or God's plan, when Source put together his plan, he came across different things that happened in the plan, and he called forth souls to fulfill the particular mission that was in his plan. And there were colors, of course. There was energy from Source. There was the emotion of love. And there was a sound. Each sound is distinct for the group of souls that were called forth. So there was color, there was particles of light that came forth from God that ran through colors that specified each person's individual soul and the mission that they were to accomplish. And then there was the calling forth of that soul, and that it had a sound, and the sounds for the souls were very distinct. I was taken personally. I was taken one time to view souls being called forth into spiritual form, and I heard. Sound. I heard the sound that the cherubim are talking about, Brian. It is a sound that cannot be duplicated. When I first heard it, I kept repeating it to myself so that I wouldn't forget it. And it is something that I have forgotten. It is so unique. It is so unusual. It is almost like a vibration that is coming through space. That was the sense that it made me feel, like this vibration is coming through this tunnel working with these colors, and it performed a sound, and that is the name of your soul, is the sound that God made when the soul was created. Now, how that sound is interpreted into language is very difficult for people to interpret, and I know that there's a lot of people who will be very specific about names that they have, and this is my soul's name, but what I am being told is that this sound, that there are no letters to this sound, that is it a symbol?
Can it be interpreted as a symbol?
No, they're telling me that it is a sound. There is nothing to be interpreted, just like a name is a sound, like letters are a sound. We recognize letters and sound, the sound of that letter because...
Vibration,
Yeah, it is a vibration. And how that sound is interpreted into words depends upon which dimension that you are living upon, that each dimension has its own sounds of language. If they're close to one another, they will be similar, but the further that you get away from the different dimensions, the sounds change, that it's not the same on all dimensions. And they are saying that for them to give you an interpretation in our plane,
Yes.
We could take a name and we could give you an interpretation of that on this dimension, but it really wouldn't be the sound of your soul.
Okay, I understand. And that one last, yes.
Yeah, it really wouldn't be the sound of your soul. And so you said you had another question?
One last one. I just wanted to know, I had a vision of a purple robe and a purple staff, kind of like a wooden and purple, like lighting illumination, and I wanted to know what that means for Brian.
Okay, you had a vision of a purple robe and a purple staff.
Yes, like a wooden staff, but it had like an aura around it, like purple.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I was wondering, how does that fit in with me?
The staff.
Yes.
Was this perfectly round, or was it kind of squared off?
It was like a round staff, like a wooden, how do you say it, like a staff, like mages carry?
Majors?
Mages, you know, like magicians or something.
Oh, okay, so it was perfectly round. It wasn't squared off.
No, it was a staff, and at the top it had like a, kind of like a, like crystals, crystalline form. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what this was or what this means.
Okay, did it have any symbols on the staff?
I couldn't see. I wasn't close enough to see it.
Okay, so it might have, but you didn't notice. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it had an aura around it, like a purple, glowing aura around it. A lot of purple. It's been seeing a lot of purple.
You are a busy man, aren't you?
I sure am.
Man, this guy's busy. Okay, let's see what we can find out for you, Brian.
Okay.
Well, the cherubim aren't coming forth with this. They are directing me to an earth record. And they usually send me here to this place when we're talking about records that has to do with the earth. And they're connecting you with a group. Well, we would have called them sorcerers, but they're not really. They were individuals who understood who understood the metaphysical world and worked with it. And this was your path through many lifetimes when you worked with the mystical tools, bringing forth energy, bringing forth, or actually materializing hard solids on the earth by using the energy as it was called forth from the cosmos, that you have done this in the past. And this is your connection with it, and it is a reminder to you to be aware of this and wake up to this ability again.
Is it kind of like learning to materialize things in the physical flesh?
Not the physical flesh. I think what you're asking is, as a human being who is in living here on Earth in physical form, can you materialize things?
Thanks.
I think that's what you meant, right?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Wrong?
Yes.
Well, yes, that you are able to. You were able to materialize almost as a magician would materialize things, but you actually did materialize them. It wasn't an act, and many of us did this.
So it's the raising our vibration is which is going to be able to create these things in the future for us.
Yes, but because we come from a place where
where our vibrations were a lot higher. In the high period of Atlantis in particular, we did these things without any problem whatsoever. We understood this,
mm-hmm.
and we worked with this, and then there was the fall. There was this journey into dense physical form, and then we've had this very long journey that it has taken us to get as far as we are right now. But right now we are not in ability on the same level that we were when we were at the high point of Atlantis. We still have a good way to go, but see, mm-hmm. you worked with those processes then,
yeah.
and this is a reminder that you'll be working with them again.
Wow, that's amazing! And that's in another lifetime.
Well, they're telling me many.
Mm. That's amazing.
But see, a lot of us did this in Atlantis.
Yes.
This is not, how shall we say this, new news.
Right.
The crystals were used to generate the energy from the cosmos. The mm-hmm. high priests were able to gather that energy and were able to present it to those who were studying under them so that they could do things, could bring into form things that were in their minds, like flowers, for instance.
Yes.
Taking that energy and working with the colors that came off of the crystals. So this isn't the first time that this has happened. This has. Many souls have worked with this.
Yes. So in relationship to me, it's just the awakening is all it is. It's trying to remember.
Yes, it's the awakening of what you've done in the past you'll be doing again in the future, as so many of us will be doing. And
wow.
it is because you're following the spiritual path, you're working with it, and
yeah.
Your soul is reminding. It's sort of like holding up a mirror to you. You know, you've done this in the past. This is where
yeah.
you're going. You're going to be doing it again.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn. I just wanted to give me some confirmation on things that I've been doing and will do in the future.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be a busy man.
Well, you have a wonderful day.
You too, Brian.
God bless.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I wanted to talk about a reading that I had done for someone, and I wrote an article that I have put up in the Spiritual Notebook, and will also I have it on the show's information today. It's called A Magnificence of Soul, and I found this to be so extraordinarily beautiful because cherubim were talking about the plan that we spoke about earlier and how there would be a need for compassion. And this was so souls would understand that people were coming in with different missions, and because we were different from one another, that we needed understanding to accept the differences among people. And so that was the original compassion. Souls were made to work with people with that form of compassion. And then as Source is looking over the plan, there seems to be another role for compassion, and that compassion was a group of souls who were called into spiritual form who would feel the needs of another, yes, but actually take on the burdens of others, because there would be souls who would become discouraged if the burdens were too heavy, and so they might drift without working spiritually until the dark forces would actually take control of their destiny. So there were a group of very special souls who were formed in these magnificent colors, so beautiful. And these were the ones who would temporarily work with souls who didn't understand that they really needed to learn from what was happening in their life and had certain lessons. And so these souls were created, as we said, to take on some of the burdens of others until they were able to take care of their own burdens. And so with this particular individual, she was called with this group who were to help take burdens on from other souls. And do read that either in the spiritual notebook or in my own sheet up there for today, because the description is just so beautiful. And these souls are working with those in the Middle East because there are many there who are burdened and troubled by the events in their world, and they have no idea how to change them. And so they feel lost. And this group of compassionate souls are there working to dispel the darkness in the land. And so they're holding the energies for these people, and they're helping also to carry some of the burdens until the people are better able to carry their own karma. And, of course, the cherubim say people call this karma, but they are viewing it as facing your own actions from the past and the present and balancing the soul for perfect perfection. And so what the beauty of all of this is that this group of compassionate souls who are working on the Middle East, that we will soon, their work is very effective, and we will soon see some reconciliation among groups of people who live there, and it will materialize soon as these souls who are working with compassion are uniting their efforts with the spiritual hierarchy and the angelic realm. It is a most beautiful, beautiful reading. And so, friends, I would like to say and suggest go to carolynevers.com, go up in the right-hand corner, look at the conference calls. We are having incredible conference calls with Master Kuthumi, with Archangel Mikael, and next month, August, with Mother Mary, working with people who have lost children. There is nothing harder to bear than losing a child. It is hard for both parents. So check that out. Imagine being able to pick up a telephone and having a conference call with an angel, with a master who has accelerated to the higher realm. I mean, we're in incredible times. Also, on that website, there is a file there that is actually one of our past conference calls, so you can get an idea as to what they are like. And so, my friends, it has been a delight for me to be here with you. Also, you might be interested in finding out about your own soul. You can order an Akashic reading there at my site, and there is quite a few books that the masters in the angelic realm have given to me so that you might have some use of some very special information. So I love you all. Bless you all. Until next time, our next show is going to be Wednesday, Cosmic Connections with Charlene McNeil, and then the Saturday after that, with Caroline Allen. And so check us out, The Message and the Messenger. See you all next time, Wednesday. Hold you in my heart. Goodbye.
You're listening to BBS Radio. An internet radio experience of truth, harmony, beauty. From your family at BBS Radio, have yourself a beautiful day.